Good afternoon and welcome. We are here today to pay our respects to Daniel Swetman, husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, friend, and brother in Christ. We're here then too to be comforted in our sorrow, to be encouraged by the hope that we have of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Our comfort is that hope of eternal life, and it's ours by faith in Jesus Christ. And Dan is now experiencing that eternal life profoundly. And we, by faith, have the hope of one day being reunited with him. And for that, we can take great comfort and even give thanks in moments like these to our Lord. I want to read a couple of scripture passages. One passage which talks about that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And then another passage which I think very well describes the life of Dan Swetman. This first passage is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus said this to his disciples, to his followers, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be." And the second is from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I think Dan's life was one just deeply devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ, a life of faith and a life of faithfulness. And it was his desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and for his family to do so as well. And this is what Joshua told the people of Israel, and this reflects Dan's heart as well, when Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We humbly ask you, Lord, to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace, find comfort and peace. May this service be honoring to Dan's memory, and may it be honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
I have a preacher's treasure right here. This is Daniel Swetman's Bible. And I've had the privilege recently of thumbing through its pages and being amazed at what drops out. And it's amazing what you can find out about a man by what drops out of his Bible. Things that are important to him. Things that he chooses to keep dear. The end of his Bible are several bulletins, because Dan Swetman was a churchgoer. He's a faithful man. He's faithful in church. I've only known him. When did he start coming to our church?
Last April.
So I've only really known him in these last months. I did not know him when he was in his vitality. I did not know him when he was as active as he was. And so it was good for me to get a chance to thumb through and to see some pictures. Pictures of when he was in the Navy. Pictures of his beloved wife, Leatrice. There's some amazing outlines of messages. And I don't know, are these ones that he wrote or really? He's got Automobile Christianity, a message he wrote. He's got an outline here about his own testimony and how his own father was an alcoholic, and how God so directed. In fact, surrounded by verses, he wrote, "Dad drank, never came to school functions." And he mentions the World's Fair of 1933. Dad was drunk. Mom took us, which was typical, he said. Dad came home drunk again, fell down. He mentioned a pastor, Gary Saw.
Gray Saw.
Who they received an invitation to church. He says, we went to church. We all accepted Christ. He said, Dick and I started cleaning the church on Saturday. Then Dick and I helped print the bulletins. After high school, OH Board and Building Community built a new church. And he says, lastly, the last thing in this list, Dad finally accepted Christ at 70 years old. You see, the things that were important to Dan Sweatman had to do with church, had to do with God. The things as he reviewed his life, those things that that meant something to him that he wanted to remember was his time in church. The last thing here that thrilled his heart was his own dad got saved. Isaiah 26:3, he writes, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I couldn't help but think, as his own mind failed him so many times in the end, and as that mind that was so quick for so many years could not bring back simple things. Middle of the night, not remembering how to get to the bathroom. Simple things that frustrated him. And he writes, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind. Diane shared with me that one of the ravages of Alzheimer's was bouts of depression. And he would start to get depressed, and she began it, and Kathleen picked up on it. The back of his Bible are three pages, and they're well-worn pages. And I went to count it, but then I realized somebody had counted them ahead of me. And there are 186 Bible references with two, three, four words. And he would take this list, and these were little clues to him, and he would start quoting Scripture. Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And it wasn't long before those clouds of depression started to go away. Because thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. I'm looking forward to that day. That day when I'm going to see Dan Sweatman whole. His thoughts, you could catch him in lucid moments. And he could talk and sometimes be just as intelligible, but he was discouraged because he knew he couldn't bring back what he wanted. But today he can. Today he can, and he's reminiscing. I don't know who the first person, honestly, I don't know who the first person besides his beloved Lord Jesus, I don't know, was it Leatrice? I don't know, but the first person to spend time with and just reflect. And one of the greatest joys that he had was the fact that it's there again. His memory is there again. And he can think. I wanted to read for you that which was written about him. Daniel Sweatman, 89, of McHenry, died Monday. Now, you know, to a lot of folks, that sounds depressing and discouraging, but not to him because he's in heaven right now. He was at Provena Corps Marie Center, which to a lot of folks would sound discouraging, but he was only there a few days. They placed him there just for a few days' rest, and he was going to come back into the home. And wouldn't you know it, part of God's plan was to use that little extraction time as an anesthetic to prepare them for his departure. He was born December 30, 1923 in Chicago to Daniel and Florence. They called her Small Sweatman. On April 28, 1944, he was united in marriage with Leatrice Ruckman. Formerly of Chicago and Des Plaines, Daniel summered in the McHenry area as a boy and later became a full-time resident in 1964. He attended Wright Junior College in Chicago,
then left his studies to enlist in the U.S. Navy during World War II. He continued his structural engineering studies at Columbia University and spent nearly 50 years of his career as a structural engineer with Rand Steel and Des Plaines. A man of faith, he truly embraced his Christian heritage. He was a longtime member of Wonder Lake Bible Church and a former member of Des Plaines Bible Church. He was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon in the church, and for many years taught weekly Bible study classes in his home with his wife. Daniel held a private pilot's license and often flew a Cessna 172. Got to see a picture of it in here. Many of his church students have fond memories of receiving their first airplane ride from him. He also was talented in playing the harmonica and piano. By the way, that's one thing I do grieve over. We were making plans on having him come and play his harmonica for us. I direct a senior citizens group in our church, and he was going to come play, but he forgot how. But he's playing it now. He left for now his dear family, Diane and Lou Weller, and Sherry and Doug Anderson, three wonderful grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren, of whom he had to hold on real tight because his buttons wanted to pop off in great joy and pride with each one of them. I'm sure that today, apart from reveling in his relationship with his beloved Savior, he is saying, "Lord, oh, Lord, don't miss that. Would you be sure and meet that need? Take care of that. And all that, Dan, keep him out of trouble." He's saying, he is so concerned. I am honored for this time. I'm honored to have had the opportunity to meet Daniel Swetman. And I'm looking forward to the day, not that distant future, more than likely, to where we'll be reunited in heaven once again. Pastor?
Thank you, Dan. You know, you have two Pastor Dans here today, so there's no excuses for forgetting a name. So, well, thank you for that. I think it's obvious and evident that Dan has touched all of our lives. He's touched many lives. And in the time that I got to know him, the conversations that I had with him, one of the things that really stood out in my mind is finally I found someone out there who loved talking about World War II and airplanes as much as I did. So he loved flying, of course, and he had served in the war. And we used to talk about that often. And I'd be bringing up events, things that had happened, and I'd mention this plane that was involved in it and so forth. And it never failed. It seemed like every time I mentioned a World War II airplane, inevitably I knew without fail, okay, here it comes. What's the wingspan on that? You always wanted to know the wingspan. Now, fortunately, then I'd pull out the old smartphone where you've got the internet there and Google it. Just hold on. Let me see. Hold your horses. Let's see. And then I could tell them, 37 feet. What? 37 feet. So I love those conversations with Dan. I know, though, too, that he was a dedicated youth leader and that he and his wife, Lee, had opened up their home to young people. Doug talked about that here this afternoon. That he would befriend them. He enjoyed working with them. He loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God, as was evident in what we've heard. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But Dan, through it all, was faithful. And he was faithful. He was faithful all the way to the end. He persevered. And I know that he is now in the presence of his beloved Lord. And he's been reunited with his bride, Lee. And for that, we can all be very grateful and thankful. So I'd like now to take a moment here to invite anyone who would like to share with us your thoughts on Dan's life to do so now. And I will have a microphone. If you're comfortable with it, I will have a microphone for you that I can give you so that everyone can hear you. And also, this service is being recorded, so it will go into that as well. Now, let me just say this first. I know there are a few people here who would like to speak, and I also know you all pretty well. And so knowing you all pretty well, I'm going to ask that for now, if we would just keep it brief so that others may be able to speak as well. Because I have a feeling we would be here. Who thinks that we would be here all afternoon if we just open it up? I think so. So we do want to give everyone an opportunity to speak, so I'd ask you just to keep it brief then. So is there someone who'd like to speak? I know there are some. Okay.
I wrote it down so I wouldn't speak too long. But before I read it, I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming and for sharing this time. I know it's not easy to come to these things, but I just really thank you for coming. Dad, our dad was a man of integrity. He lived what he said he believed. He walked the talk. He was a godly example to us. By his example, he taught us the importance of God's word. I would see him daily reading God's word and praying. Same time, same place, every day. He memorized many, many verses in God's word. And because of that, God has spoken to my heart to do the same. And I don't know if I'm going to do 100 and some, but I have 10 down so far. Joshua 24:15 describes my dad. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you.
And I want to thank you, along with my sister Sherry, for coming. What a blessing to have you here just to share with us, knowing that we don't see Dad in person, but he's with the Lord. And that's where I know that we're going, and I praise the Lord for that. And I hope that before you leave, if you're not sure anything about heaven or how to get there, if you will listen, because Pastor Dan and Pastor Dan, they want to let you know how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Sherry and I know we're on our way to heaven. Why? Because my dad did not become bitter. When he saw my grandpa, it wasn't until grandpa was in his 70s that he accepted the Lord. And Dad and my uncles could have become very bitter. But they began to come to church and see that there was a way that they could know for sure that they were on their way to heaven. And just like Pastor Dan was talking and Pastor Outler was talking about, he began to live for the Lord then at an early age. And I praise the Lord for that. Not only did my dad come to know the Lord, but he brought my mom to church when she was a teenager and she accepted Christ. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for the Christian heritage that I've come from. And when I think now of our son Dan, I'm thankful for that. For my dad, who, just like Sherry said, every morning I'd see him reading his Bible. Every night before I went to bed, he'd be reading his Bible. There were times when I came home from youth group, and he'd be in the living room having his quiet time with the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that, because his habit of that filtered down into Sherry's and my life, and now into our sons. And I just praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful once again that you were here with us.
I admire my grandpa so much. And it's really hard to put into words. I'm just hoping I can hold back a little bit so that I can actually talk about it, because it's important, and it's not because it's of me, because of who he was. But I'm sure if Scott and Matthew would hear it, they would tell you that grandpa was fun to be with, and he was funny. You know, he was really neat, the guy. But you know, I was able to see what they saw, you know, because sometimes I would spend time with grandpa in the summer or something, and wasn't really close to my other grandpa because he kind of lived far away, but grandpa was closer, and, you know, I would see him at night, what they're talking about. And this is, you know, he's in his 60s and 70s, and I'm seeing him sitting in this, you know, this chair in the corner with all of his books, you know, and he'd be reading the Bible, and I remember him showing me those lists that you're talking about, you know, and he'd be memorizing, and I'd ask how he was doing it. And I'm like, wow, you know, and that means a lot to a kid, because he sees that it's not just, you know, the Christian life isn't just about following a list of rules. It's about knowing God. And about the, I'm sorry, it's about that relationship affecting your life. That's what it's about. And I'm glad that he exemplified that for me, and that I could see that and be like, wow, it's real to him. And, you know, it's so awesome that his kids, you know, my Aunt Sherry and Uncle Doug, and they're both in ministry. They're both working with people. Because God loves people. And it helps me when, as I get older, to realize that's really what matters. It's about people and their lives, and some people in their messed up lives, and God wanting to get to know them so that he can change them. And not just make them better people, because that's not what it's about either. It's about God just making you new, because he knows you and you know him. In the book of John, it says, Jesus is talking, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You know, you think about a boat or a truck, you know, there's a manifest that tells what's on the boat. And Jesus is saying, man, if you just follow me, you're not going to understand. It's not understand and then follow. It's follow and then understand. Man, when you do that, God, Jesus is saying, I'll show myself to you. I'll reveal myself to you. Just follow me. And it was just neat to see that in Grandpa's life. And I'll try to make it quick. Grandpa loved me. Okay, and I know he loved Jason and Matthew and Scott, because he would talk about them. We'd be going to the park, and he would tell me, see that pond over there? I can't remember if it was Jason or Matthew, and they'd be rowing in the canoe that sometimes me and Grandpa would be in. And he'd talk about how one day, you know, they were like, hey, can you row us over there, Grandpa? Hey, now can you go over there, Grandpa? You know, and being tired at the end of the day because, just all these funny, funny times. But he was a good father, but he was also a good grandfather. And he showed value to you because he would spend time with you, and he wasn't just putting his time in. He really enjoyed being with you. And he was a good example to me of what I need to do. Grandpa was such a cool guy. He's really, really neat. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
I've only had the privilege of knowing Dan for just a few months. I just enjoyed you. There's people that you meet that you know they have a strong relationship with God, and that was Mr. Sweatman. You could just see Jesus living through him, and I got the pleasure of hearing him play his harmonica, and just that sweet spirit. So I just really feel blessed knowing, having some fellowship with Mr. Sweatman.
Most of you know me. I was one of the honored, one of the few that attended youth group on Thursday nights. When Doug and Sherry come home on furlough every 4 years, that's one of the main topics of our conversation is the good times we had at the Thursday night groups. And I just want to thank Dan Swellman and Lee, who I'll get to thank in person someday. That's going to be awesome. But for giving of their time on those Thursdays, I mean every Thursday, no matter what, their house was open. It was at their house that God spoke to me directly and told me that I need to go to Bible school. And I can't tell you, I mean, that when I went to their house at one, it was like most high school kids, you know, don't want to go to college. I'm just going to just graduate, get a job, and be rich. But for some reason, it was at their house that God knocked on my heart's door and says, you need to go to Bible school. So that's what I did. But there's no telling where I would be or what kind of guy I'd be or husband or father I'd be if it wasn't for the time that they gave up of their time on those Thursday nights. So thank you, Sherry and Diane, for giving us your father and mother. It was a very honor. And we'll see him again.
It's great to see a lot of my high school friends here that were there also. I am kind of surprised at how old they all look, though. the times there at their home, if I took nothing else away, I knew that they loved me. Many times Lee would pray for each one of us, individually going around the room. And that just touched my heart. And you just always knew that they cared about you. I mean, they really showed Christ's love through their actions. And Dan was such a friendly guy. And I also remember him being one of the men years ago at the old church who would give object lessons when our Sunday school classes all met together in the sanctuary, and different men of the church gave object lessons, and he was one of those men. And then we'd split up and go to our rooms, and just a loving, caring, upbeat couple. And I'd forgotten how many great memories I have until today.
I want to come up here because I want to see the faces of these people that I love. For anybody that doesn't know me, my name's Kathleen, and I was Daniel's caregiver. I'm the one that spent probably the most waking hours with him in the last, well, since April. And the stories that he had were just absolutely awesome. The love that he had for his family. He missed you and asked about you all the time, where you were. And it was hard to think of him passing, but we prayed that he would go because we knew that there's no better place that he could be than with Jesus and with Lee. And the day before he passed, when I left him that day, I thought I was not coming back until the following day. So I told him that it was okay for him to go and to be with Jesus and with Lee, and that I would see him when I get to heaven. And then that last night before we left, we all just, Diane and Lou and I, decided that it was best for us all to go home and see what happened by morning. So we all held hands with him and prayed with him before we left. And Diane and Lou said their goodbyes, and then I said my goodbye, and I told him that he just better not be riding the motorcycle up there in heaven without me. Because I had the opportunity to give him his very first ride on the back of a motorcycle or anywhere on a motorcycle. And he said that that was the closest he'd ever been to flying. Now, I don't know if he was trying to say that I was a crazy driver or not. But we had a lot of really awesome times riding on the motorcycle, getting a laugh out of his dentist and all his associates coming and watching out the window while Dan got on the motorcycle and rode away. That was their biggest thrill for the day. And being in the park, he loved the park. He loved the wildlife. He loved just being in that beauty. And I picture him just walking down those paths with his sweet wife in heaven and just loving eternity. And I thank you, God, for allowing him to share his love for you with me and to have the time to go over those scripture verses, which was the most fun. I never thought anybody could memorize that many scripture verses. But he was a beautiful man, and we spent many, many beautiful days together. And I just thank God that he now has his mind all in one place and a whole body again.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Was an inquisitive man. He didn't take things at face value. He wanted to know what was behind the scene. Buildings, to me, mean a place you go and you look at a building, that's a nice looking building, and you walk inside, it's nice and warm in here, and you look for a place to sit down. That's a building, but not to him. For building to him was a marvel. It was a work of physics. It was a work of the mysteries of the universe all coming together in one place. And he would look at a building and he would see things that the average eye would never ever see. He could pick apart a building like that. For he was trained as an engineer, a structural engineer. I'm glad that God has given to us structural engineers. For when you walked in this building, I doubt if any one of you worried, is this floor going to hold us? You sat down in the chair, and I doubt that most of you said, oh, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me. Because somewhere along the line, a structural engineer designed this building. And in fact, before they opened the doors, they had to have someone and check everything out, come and check everything out to put their stamp of approval with a structural engineer saying everything is all right. I'm sure that there are passages of Scripture that lit Dan Sweatman up that perhaps meant a great deal more to him than even to the average mind. As I was thinking about him and his life, I was thinking about that enamoration of him with buildings. I was thinking, you know, the Lord has an enamoration with buildings also. He speaks a great deal about buildings and about building techniques. In fact, he uses some terminology about building. He uses the term plumb line. Well, now, a builder would know what a plumb line is. He uses things to make sure they're vertically straight. He uses measuring rods in the Scriptures. There's all sorts of building terminology. He talks about building a strong foundation in the Scripture. He uses the term that we don't use a great deal today, but the term is cornerstone. Cornerstone. That stone that is laid upon the foundation that is placed ever so carefully, and that stone itself chosen ever so carefully because it has exact angles. And it's chosen because of its angles, because every other stone is coming off of the angle given by that cornerstone. And so with the frequency of buildings in the Scripture, I look for a thought. And I found an amazing verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry." And then he says an amazing phrase. He says, "Ye are God's building." Ye are God's building.
And then it hit me. You know, God, I don't think, is in heaven standing back and saying, wow, look at that building over there. I remember the first time I went to the Sears Tower and went way up there close to the top floors and looked out over Chicago, and I was amazed with what man could do. And it was a windy day, so I'm standing up there, and the building is shifting back and forth. And I'm thinking, is it safe to be up here? And they say, oh, it's all right. They said they built this building to sway in the wind. And Dan Swetman would know that. He would know why. He would know everything about all that. It meant something to him. But you know, in heaven, God is yawning at that. All those great buildings. But when he thought of Dan Swetman, he took notice. Because Dan Swetman was his building. Dan Swetman was what he died on the cross for. Dan Swetman was what he invested his life for. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Listen carefully, it says in the end verse, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was the foundation upon which this superstructure of Dan Swetman was going to be built. Jesus was the foundation. I remember building our home back in 95. I had never built a home before, but I showed up on a regular basis to inspect what was going on, and I was amazed how deep the hole was. And I said, but now that's not what we planned. We planned the basement only to go so far down. He said, oh, no, we've got to put the foundation in first. The footers have to go in way down deep to support everything else. I was amazed at what went into the foundation. It wasn't long thereafter, I thought back to my early visit to the Sears Tower. And I thought about how deep the foundation had to go to support the Sears Tower. Then I thought how deep the foundation had to go to support me when Jesus Christ became my foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are God's building, and Jesus is the foundation. Did it strike you as funny that it seemed like everybody that talked today, they weren't, with one exception, they weren't all crying a whole lot? We sorrow, but we sorrow not as those that have no hope. And Dan's got all the hope in the world, knowing exactly where his grandpa is. Oh, we sorrow, we miss him, but it's not like, oh no, I don't know where he is. We know where he's at, and I don't feel sorry for him in the least bit. Seeing Jesus face to face, walking on streets of gold, breathing in celestial air, I don't feel sorry for him, I envy him. Jesus is the foundation upon which I heard spoken of almost without exception today. Jesus, the foundation, that which we talk about, that which encourages us, that which we use to define our lives, his life, an example to us through our daily life, a foundation laid in Jesus Christ. He's not only the foundation, I mentioned he's the cornerstone in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the one that's laid as an example for everyone else that follows. He's the cornerstone. In 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In Luke 20 and verse 17, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone upon which New Testament Christianity has been established, was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we learn in Isaiah 53. but he still offered his life. He is our chief cornerstone. He's the one that we use to determine, is this right for me? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. Is this right for me? Matching our lives up to Jesus Christ. You know, I learned a long time ago that it doesn't do a whole lot of good to use somebody else as an example, because you can always say, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Are you like that? At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I'm better than they are in this particular thing. But when you use Jesus Christ as your example, and he becomes your standard, your cornerstone, we have no excuse. The third thing I saw here regarding us, we as God's building, was found in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, two amazing verses that say, to whom coming, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He's called a lively stone, a living stone. What's it mean to be a living stone? Listen, it's an example here. It's an analogy. It's a symbol. It's a picture. He's saying, take a look at this stone edifice, this amazing stone building, and take a look at the stone that is laid upon, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then he said, ye also as living stones, the building is built upon the living stone of Jesus Christ. But then he likens us to living stones, like our example. When we became Christians, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We took our faith and trust off our own dependence. And we realized, you know, try as we might, we're never going to be good enough to earn heaven. And so we stopped messing around and we knelt before a thrice holy God and we say, Lord Jesus, I'm now trusting you and you alone to take me to heaven when I die. We transferred our dependence for heaven from ourselves to him. When we got born again, when we got saved, we became God's building, a living stone. And from that point on, we had a responsibility to reach a world for Christ and to introduce them to that cornerstone, to tell them how wonderful that cornerstone is. To tell them how it is so blessed to be able to stand on the foundation laid of Jesus Christ. We are God's building. Well, what are the practical applications we can learn from us, we being God's building? Well, first of all, who is the stone? Well, the stone is Jesus Christ. We're learning he's described as chief. He's the chief cornerstone. Anytime you find somebody who has the title chief, that means they're the one in charge. The chief is the one in charge. And they don't make any bones about letting you know it. Who's chief around here? Well, the chief is the one in charge, and Jesus wants to be in charge in my life. Jesus wants to be in charge in your life. Now, that sounds profound, but why is it we struggle on a daily basis with who's going to be in charge, me or him, me or him, me or him? He's the chief cornerstone. He's elect. He's chosen of God. God chose him. He says he's precious. He is our foundation. He is our cornerstone. He is our example, this stone. What is our responsibility to the stone? Well, in 1 Peter 2, 6, we learn, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, believe on him. It says in 1 Peter 2, 6, which I read for you. Here it is. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded, the Bible says. He that believeth on Jesus, the living stone, shall not be confounded. What is my responsibility to the stone? I'm to believe on him. It's an amazing thing, but when Jesus went to the cross and he died for the sins of mankind, God could have at that time established a prerequisite for anyone going to heaven. And he could have said, because my son's death was so hideous,
because my son Jesus gave so much for you, here's what I'm going to exact out of you. In order for you to go to heaven, here's what you must do. And he just started listing it all out. You must never miss a church service. You must memorize the whole Bible. You must give all of your money to the poor. You must live a perfect life. That's what he would do, I would think. But he didn't do that. Watching his son die on the cross, he says, here is how you can receive eternal life. Believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, he says. What a beautiful verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I found that verse in his list. He knew it. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thinking that's not fair. Witnessing what Jesus Christ had done, that's not fair. To take that blood that he shed as full payment for my sins, that's not fair. He suffered everything for me. That's not fair. It's not fair, but it's God's love for you and for me. My responsibility to that stone is to believe on him. What is the effect of the stone upon the stones in the building, we who are his building? In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here's my responsibility. Once I become his building by faith in him, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I am to show forth his praises to a lost and dying world. And isn't that just what we've heard today? We've heard his praises, the praises of Jesus Christ, doing a most amazing work in one of his buildings, Dan Sweatman. And one after another was giving praise to God. Thank you, God, for what you did. Thank you for what you did in a most amazing life. Show forth the praises of his son. And then lastly, what effect is the building, his building, to have? As I get up in the morning, I'm going to face pressures and problems and difficulties of this life. And for some of you, they're going to be insurmountable. I'm thinking of some of the times that he woke up in the morning and the difficulties of just getting out of bed. The difficulties of trying to get his mind where he recognized where he was. The middle of the night where it's pitch black and trying to remember, where am I? How do I get to the restroom? One time they found him in the hall. One time in the closet. His mind. The difficulties that we go through. What is our responsibility? We're supposed to broadcast Jesus Christ. And in the depths of his mental cloud, he still had a desire to worship Jesus Christ. He had a desire to praise Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was his building, that's why. Because he was the building of Jesus Christ. His life was laid upon the foundation, and it was built upon him. Ye also as lively stones. So when I think of Dan Sweatman, when I think of his being in, it lighting up over buildings, it makes me wonder right now, today, what he's doing in heaven. Is it possible that he's saying about that building over there in heaven? That is impossible. That can't be. You can't do that. That doesn't match the laws of physics. And Jesus gets this big smile on his face, and guess what? I created physics. I can do whatever I want. You've not seen anything yet. Wait till I show you this. Thing after thing, him going around just evaluating things. And it's exciting Jesus because he realizes he sees things the average mind doesn't see.
that excitement over Jesus. That is the responsibility for you and for me, to get excited about Jesus. To get excited about Jesus. You know, the honest simple truth is we've got a responsibility to win a world to Christ. Do you think we're going to do that by long faces, by complaining about everything that comes along, by being argumentative about everything, by being just downright ornery, or are we going to win a world for Christ, much like Dan Sweatman did? By being in love with Jesus Christ, by being excited about the Christian life, by wanting to share the Christian life with others, by praising the Lord, even when the pressures mounted. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for Dan Sweatman. And Dan Sweatman has seen him face to face. And when I get to heaven, he would let me know that he would be in great displeasure if I had not offered to you Jesus' free gift of salvation. So right before I pray, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He did so freely for you in full payment of man's sins. And according to many verses, not the least of which is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to take you to heaven when you die? Dan did. He had the privilege of seeing his own father at 70 years of age trust Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you become one of God's buildings? In just a moment, we're going to bow for prayer. And in the quietness of that moment, I want you to ask yourself, do I know 100% for sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven? Oh, how sweet the knowledge of knowing that by putting one's faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, he can know for sure he's going to heaven when he dies. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Dan Sweatman and for his faithful life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your doing a work of comforting in the family even right now. Thank you for this time we've spent remembering him, remembering his testimony, and now looking into your word for encouragement. Lord, you who are that living stone, you who are that cornerstone, you who are that foundation stone, would you do a work in hearts right now? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, behold, now is the day of salvation. You can do it right now. As I did when I was an 11-year-old, if you truly believe that Jesus died for you, between you and Jesus Christ right now, you could transfer your dependence for heaven from your shoulders of trying to earn your way into heaven to Jesus Christ simply by trusting upon him. You could, between you and him, pray a very simple prayer saying, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for me. I'm now asking you to forgive my sins, and I'm trusting you and you alone to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me." Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the sweetness of believers sharing the wonders and glories of what you've done for us. Continue to meet with us, I pray. We love you in Jesus' name.
We're pilgrims on a journey of a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize,
but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lines. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the truths that they uncover and the memories they discover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Eternal God, you are the consolation, the help, the support of all who trust in you. And I pray that you would grant your sustaining strength to these grieving hearts here today. Enable us, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life and help us to see the things that are eternal. And grant that we may follow with true faith wherever you lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of comfort. I pray that each one of us here would turn to you and receive your consolation and the hope that is found in Jesus. May Christ indeed be real and personal to each one of us. Be gracious to us today and all the days of our lives. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.